Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, and this is Brian Wilkie speaking. Thank you to all our listeners. We are grateful for your encouragement and support. And remember that you can always visit our website at goodnewschristianministries.ca for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. Today I'd like to speak a message that was prepared originally for a men's breakfast at the Ottawa Church of God during Holy Week. And the theme is, Can You Make a Difference? The scripture that I'd like to speak about is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, and the scripture begins like this. All creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. This passage speaks about the significance of human beings and the significance of the process that God is bringing us through as he redeems us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Significance is such an important issue for human beings. We are caught up in the importance of significance. You see, it's important to us that we have significance, and yet too much significance can overwhelm us. When something we have to do is too important, we can feel inadequate. We can feel like too much hangs on our success or failure. And yet, if we feel that our life has too little significance, it's extraordinarily depressing, and it makes life very difficult to maneuver through when significance is out of balance. So we're going to talk about that today as we explore this theme. But first, let's listen to a song that speaks about the great love of God. It's called Could It Be, and it's a song written and performed by Michael Card from his album Present Reality.
In the ebb and flow of living, as we wander through the years, we're told to listen to a voice we can't hear with our ears. They say to live by something that you can't see with your eyes. Is there really any purpose to this foolish exercise? Could it be you make your presence known so often by your absence? Could it be the questions tell us more than answers ever do? Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? In our words and in our silence, in our pride and in our shame, to the genius and the scholar, to the foolish and insane, to the ones who care to seek you, to the ones who never will. You are the only answer, even still. Could it answers ever do. Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? It's a question you can't answer, an answer you cannot express. That the gentleman of sorrow is the source of happiness. You'll never solve the mystery of this magnetic man, for you must believe to understand. Could it be you make your presence known so often by your absence? Could it be the questions tell us more than answers ever do? Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you?
Can we make a difference? Do our lives make any difference? We look around and we see we're in a world of 7 billion people. We see ourselves sometimes as cogs in a great big machine. We want our lives to make a difference. And some people try to make that difference through their workplace, try to achieve great things and change the world through the efforts they make in their work. And some people succeed. My goodness, we have seen the world changed by inventions and by ideas. We've seen the world changed by service. We've seen entire cultures turned around by writing of an inspirational nature, by the work of people dedicated to the mission of God. And we've also seen cultures take a downward trend and nations take a wrong direction because of the significance of misguided or even wicked leadership. Some people can have significance. Clearly, some people make a difference. But the question is, can you make a difference? Can I make a difference? Is it possible for us with our skills, with our talents, with our lives in this great mass of humanity to make a difference? Some people try to make that difference through their family by devoting themselves to their spouse, to their children, to their grandchildren and their nieces and nephews. They do make a great difference and a contribution into the lives of others. They sometimes are able to be the person, even if they aren't the parent of a particular individual, the person who's looked at as the biggest influence and the most profound and effectual person in their lives. The person who pours love into another person's life is doing a great service and making a great difference. And yet sometimes we feel that all that effort is very touch and go, that sometimes you wonder whether all that work and all that time has made the difference that you hoped it would. So, can God answer this question for us about whether we can make a difference? Can the scriptures tell us about whether people today in this great big complex world can make a difference that matters, can have significance? Well, unfortunately, the first thing that I want to speak about in terms of the significance that we have, the difference that we can make, is something that's so obvious we often don't mention it. It's clear that our sin can make a difference. We don't even need a great deal of theology to recognize that the things that we do wrong have a profound effect on the world around us. We're very fortunate if the people closest to us forgive us for the wrong we've done, but we do see the harm that sin does. I certainly experience that in my daily life. I drive a school bus, and I've got some wonderful kids on the school bus, but I do notice that kids are capable of being mean to each other, and you see the harm that is done by a snide remark, a sarcastic comment, or an outright insult. It doesn't even take a physical blow to have significance, to have a significant negative impact on another person's life. Again, our own lives testify to that as we look through our past and we see how other people have caused us harm. And sometimes that pain doesn't go away very easily. And sometimes it results in insecurities and in difficulties in dealing with life. Sin makes a big difference. And the Bible certainly affirms that. As I consider the work of Christ on the cross, we see that one thing it says loud and clearly, that sin makes a difference to God. God doesn't see sin as something insignificant, some little thing. In fact, I want you to consider this, that Jesus Christ found it necessary to give his own life in order to atone for sin. Sin isn't something that can just be wished away or waved away by God's hand. Sin is something that takes God's involvement in repairing, in atoning, and in reconciling the sinners to himself. Sin is not easily fixed. And when we consider all that God has done by the work of his marvelous power, parting the Red Sea and delivering the people of Israel from Egypt, and caring for them through the years in the wilderness, and all the miracles that attended the prophets through the pages of the Old Testament, the power of God is displayed in so many ways. And we look at the stars and all creation, and we delight in the power of God, the glory of God displayed in all those things. And yet, when it came to atoning for sin, the whole of the Bible points to the greatest effort that God has ever made in coming against sin. Sin has a great significance. Jesus Christ went to the cross to do something about the impact of sin on our lives and on the world. Creation itself waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. That bondage to decay is the result of sin. This entire creation awaits the restoration that God is going to do. So sin certainly has a great significance. And Jesus Christ has gone to the cross for you. And Scripture tells us that there are two aspects to that. And it's very familiar for me to make this appeal to you and to say that Jesus Christ would have gone to the cross if you were the only sinner that needed to be forgiven. And I want to add to that what Scripture says, that Jesus Christ would have gone to the cross and would have had to go to the cross also to repair the damage that your sin has done to his children and to his creation. I want you to imagine for a moment as if Adam's temptation in the garden were a little bit different. Imagine if instead of a tree at the center of the garden, God placed a great big huge mountain. And God would take Adam up to the top of that mountain and show him that he had given him a beautiful vantage point to see all the wonderful things that had been made and had been given to him. He could look out across the valleys and the forests and the lakes and the streams and just enjoy God's creation from that mountaintop and fellowship with God there. But imagine if God said, "Just one thing, Adam, while you're up there, don't take any of the pebbles and throw them down the mountain." And Adam would nod and say, "Thank you very much, I'll be careful not to do that." But then one day, as he was toying with one of the pebbles in his hands, he thought he wanted to see how far it would go if he gave it a little bit of a toss. One pebble couldn't do any harm, could it? And then Adam, throwing that pebble down, that pebble struck another on this very steep mountain, and a whole avalanche took place, and thousands of tons of rock were moved from the side of the mountain down its slopes, wiping out trees and animals. And Imagine Adam's shame and Adam's confusion. How could he have known that one little sin would have such a great consequence? Would he try to repair it himself and go down the mountain and find the pebble that he had thrown and pick up that pebble and put it back where he found it? It wouldn't do the job, would it? No, and that's exactly what has happened with sin in the world, that it has, in fact, changed everything. Our sins have had an impact that we could not have imagined. Adam's sin, taking the apple off the tree, Adam and Eve, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, how could they know that it would result in one of their sons becoming a murderer? How could they know that the consequences of what the consequences of sin would be? They couldn't have known, but they could have obeyed. Because God set order in the universe and set his commands in the universe in order to guard us from the consequences of sin. Now, if sin is the only difference that we can make, that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a horrible thought if all that we could imagine was that we can only have a negative significance? Well, we're going to get to the positive significance that we can have, but first let's listen to this beautiful hymn of Jesus' victory over all things, his victory over the significance of sin and death, as we hear the familiar hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. I've spoken about how sin is one of the things that's significant in our lives, one of the ways that we have already made a difference. But there's a real positive difference that we can make, a difference that we can make that affects not just our life here on earth, but actually has a heavenly and eternal effect. And of course, that is our salvation. That the salvation that Jesus gives us has a tremendous significance when we accept it. When we trust in Jesus and repent of our sins, there is a significance for all of creation, because creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Creation is hoping and expecting to be liberated from its bondage as humanity itself is set free from sin. Now, not only the inanimate creation, but the people around us are affected when we turn to God and turn away from our sin. It may take time for our family and our friends to realize the difference that God is making in our lives, but when that difference is evident and when God uses our lives as a testimony in the lives of others, there's a wonderful effect, that there's rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. Can you imagine that your repentance has such significance that Jesus says there's more rejoicing in heaven over you turning to God than there is over many, many who have never needed to turn from their sin? The angels rejoice. The heavens rejoice. Creation rejoices at your salvation. It has an eternal significance when we turn to Jesus, because we turn from death to life. And Jesus tells us that he has come to give eternal life. The one who believes in him shall never die, and the one who lives and believes in him will live forever. I got that a bit mixed up in the recitation of Scripture, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. God has given eternal significance to the work that he does in us through Jesus Christ. And I want you to rejoice in that. We all should rejoice in that, that we can actually have an impact in the heavenly places when we turn from sin. Isn't that wonderful? But beyond that, beyond the sin that is our first and certain significance and difference that we make, our salvation makes a difference in the heavenly realms. And after we have turned to Jesus and we begin to obey him, our service makes a difference for him. It really does make a difference that God has set us in service that actually changes lives of other people. That when we bear witness to Jesus Christ, we're told that the word of God, as it goes forth from us, does not return empty, but affects what God planned for it to do. We're told that we are even set as ambassadors of Christ, that God is making his appeal to others through us. That this salvation that affects the heavenly realms is something that we can communicate and share with others, so that they too might turn and cause rejoicing in their own lives and in heaven. Whenever Jesus tells us about the work that we're to do, whether it's the parables about feeding the poor and the hungry and doing it to the least of our brothers that we might do it to him, or whether it's the parable of the servants who are given talents of gold and are told to put them to work for their master, and the ones who do put them to work and make a difference for their master are commended. Because God, by filling us with his Holy Spirit and giving us his works to do, has given us a great significance in the sharing of his kingdom with the world around us. God has prepared us for good works. We are his handiwork, prepared for good works, so that he might be glorified in what we do. We can have a great significance. You can make a great difference as you follow Jesus Christ. And he can atone for the significance of your sin and lead you into a life that actually has a positive impact in the world. And we can be encouraged as we follow that it does make a difference. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that you've made a difference in our lives and you've given us a new life that makes a difference for your kingdom. Lead us in all your power, in all your grace, and in all your wisdom, that we might be your ambassadors and that we might glorify your name with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. So if you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program, and don't forget to visit our website. You'll find several of our programs available on podcasts and a series of devotions written by our founding preacher, the Reverend Dr. Alan Churchill. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, here is a song from Delirious, "Lord, You Have My Heart." And I do pray that the Lord would have your heart and that you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Let me be to You a sacrifice, and I will praise You, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as You show Your face, we'll see Your glory. You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Let me be to You a sacrifice, I will praise You, Lord,
I will praise You,
and I will sing of love come down,
I will sing of love come down,
and as You show Your face, we'll see Your glory. We'll see Your glory here. We'll see Your glory here.
Good News in the Morning, produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.